You are listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 102, When Your Kid Doesn't Like School.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
All right, welcome.
Hey there, we're on episode 102 today. We're talking about kids not liking school. Fun one. No, first, just some tips there. But first I'll read a review for you from this last little while. This is by Amarsley. She titled it "So Helpful." I really enjoy listening to these ladies that feel like very knowledgeable homeschool friends. I walk away with a smile and an extra pep of confidence in my step that homeschooling is possible. I highly recommend listening. Thank you so much, Amarsley.
Thank you.
That's so sweet. I love that so many of you guys say that we feel like your friends, because that truly makes us so happy, because that's what we want. We want you to just feel comfortable and know that we're here for you. And we are your friends, even though we haven't technically ever met. Hopefully we can someday. Have a big homeschool friend reunion.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Okay, this is an interesting topic, when your kid doesn't like school. Because when I was first thinking of notes on this one, the like hardcore side of me, the tough side of me, wanted to be like, tell them tough, suck it up, buttercup. Like, you got to do school. But then I thought, would I actually do that with my kids if they said they weren't liking something? And it would have very negative effects if I did that. Mm-hmm.
Like, there are days, yes. But yeah. So we're going to give you some tips here for how to get through those times.
Right. So I wanted to start with, in episode 84, I talked about force negates learning. And so when pushing through, like, I know you hate it, but I'm going to make you do it. It's a double-edged sword. Mm. Like, they're not going to retain it because it shuts down part of their brain when they're being forced to do something to move it into long-term storage.
Yeah.
And then you're irritated and annoyed as well. So they're angry. You're angry. They don't even remember it, but you remember being angry, right? Like, it stinks. So go back and listen to episode 84 of that Force Negates Learning. But just talking for a quick minute about inspire, not require.
This is a TJ Ed principle, and it's, I always love this phrase because it really, I think it's so true. Like, if you are doing something and showing that it's lovely and beautiful, and mm-hmm. you're inspiring your children by doing it, like, if there's something that you do frequently and then your kids start copying you, they're doing it because they see joy in you doing it, mm-hmm. right? You're inspiring them to want to do it. And I think that that's a beautiful way to look at learning in general, because if you inspire them by giving them beauty through their learning, and you're not, there's not the force and the fight, then they're going to enjoy it and they're going to learn from it because they want to.
Yeah. So this is from TJ Ed saying, inspire, not require, is probably the single most important element of leadership education. There are really only two ways to teach. You can inspire the student to voluntarily and enthusiastically choose to do the hard work necessary to get a great education, or you can attempt to require it of them. Most teachers in schools use the require method, and others use an enlightened ignore tactic to try to urge the student to own their education. Great teachers in school pay the price to inspire. Instead of asking, what can I do to make these students perform? The great teacher says, I haven't yet become truly inspirational. What do I need to do so that these students will want to do the hard work to get a superb education?
That's great. I love that.
Oh, I did too. I've been reading some TJ Ed stuff lately.
It's good.
And I just feel like all of them overlap, all these beautiful mm-hmm. parts. So you have TJ Ed, Charlotte Mason, Well-Educated Heart. Like, what else are some of those same philosophies? You think of something else? Okay, those three. they just all overlap so beautifully.
Yeah.
And they're all saying the same thing. And then you just pick which one speaks to your heart the most. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. the method and the way that they do it.
Yeah, definitely. So I will be honest that I do a kind of a mix of both inspire and require in our home. But I think it's important to have that concept and that understanding, because it makes a big difference. So if your child is hating school, I think the first step is figuring out what the root of the problem is.
Yeah, we're just getting curious.
Like, are they hating that they don't have friends? Are they hating the way you're teaching them? Are they hating your expectations of them? Or is it causing tough family relationships, like strife between
I've even seen kids, something's too easy for them.
Yeah, definitely.
What's missing, like, how could I make this more fun?
Right,
like all
right.
those things of just getting curious.
Is it a specific curriculum that you need to switch? Like, is it the math that's the problem? Or is it the way you're doing spelling that's the problem? You know, typically it's like, it's not everything they hate. There's going to be like a root problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can figure that out, just have a conversation about it. You know, what is it? What is it that you hate? And you can figure out a little more detail of what's going on there.
Yes. So we're going to kind of do 5 tips of things you can do when your kid's telling you they really hate something or they're not willing to do something, just to kind of give you some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And tip number one, we're going to start with your mindset. And the way we homeschool, you're usually probably homeschooling from a feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those feelings drive our action. So if you are homeschooling from worry, I'm worrying that I'm not doing enough. I'm worried that you're behind. You're mm-hmm. going to show up in a very different way. If you're homeschooling from fear, like I'm afraid what I'm doing is I'm failing you. I'm afraid like that you're mm-hmm. not going to get a good job and provide for a family and you're going to be a homeless bum. Like that one goes right down a rabbit hole.
We're constantly frustrated.
Yes.
You know, you have those days where you're just like, everything bugs you and annoys you. Do you think the kids are going to enjoy school that day?
Probably not. So if you switch and pick, like have that different mindset and instead homeschool from confidence
mm-hmm.
Or love, creativity,
mm-hmm.
right? Excitement. You're going to be able to come up with something that's going to be much more better for you and your child if you are homeschooling from those emotions that it's going to drive a much more positive action.
Yeah.
What definitely. About even relaxed?
Yeah.
Like this, we're going to figure it out, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. just relax is a really good one.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess I'll say him and then we'll both just talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Number 2 is giving your child ownership of their education.
Oh, that's a big one. I love doing that with my kids where you let them choose things that they want to study. And that makes such a huge difference in how they receive it. Like when we went to pick, you know, my daughter, who's she 8th grade. There I go. I don't know the grade. We were trying to choose her science. And so we went down there and I have a library of science books. And so we let her choose, you know, which one do you want to learn this year? And, mm-hmm. and it's nice that I have that library. Everyone doesn't have that option, but you can do that when you're purchasing as well. And you let them choose. And if they have that ownership, they're so much more excited to learn about the topic than if you just throw it at them and say, here you go, this is what you're learning this year.
Yeah.
And force it upon them.
Well, and I even think, so my kids 2, 3, and 4 are all doing online options
mm-hmm.
now. I did not make them do online options.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted them to stay homeschooled with me forever. And they chose to do college stuff. And then the one is prepping for college and they all do their work because they chose to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Every now and then they need a little bit of encouragement,
mm-hmm.
but overall they chose it. And so that they do it.
Yeah. And also I think the older kids here, giving them ownership means they have the responsibility
mm-hmm.
to get things done and to keep on track and to pace themselves. And yeah, they'll still need some guidance because they're still young.
Yeah, they're still in
your
stewardship.
But they need to be taking a greater responsibility for their education during those older years.
But I even think my 9-year-old, he mm-hmm. like he asks for this month. I just gave some suggestions and he likes them. So he hasn't complained or anything and he likes to do it. But he said, I need it all written down of all my options.
Mm.
Like this is what works for my mind. And so other kids could just have the books all out and pick something. But he's like, no, I want a little bit of structure, but not too much.
Yeah.
And we found that balance for him. That's fun for him. Like, that's my education. I'm taking ownership
mm-hmm.
of it. And his math, he said, oh, oops. He just said, my math book's hard, but I like it.
Oh, that's great.
Like, I like to push myself in
that's
math.
Great.
And I thought, oh, good. Like, just kind of letting them. And then my daughter, who doesn't enjoy math, it's just a little bit easier of a book.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they totally love it because it's their choice.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I like that. Where's your next one? Okay, get outside more. Oh, that's a big one. We try to do that as often as we can when the weather's warm.
Oh, I know.
I don't like cold weather. It got really warm. This is what March does in Utah. It got
yeah.
really warm and sunny. And so we spent some days out on the lawn reading our
60s.
School books. It did. It was gorgeous. And we loved it. We've been gardening. We've been doing all these things, getting ready for planting. But just the very simple act of reading our books out on the lawn made our day so happy and joyful. And in between books, they'd jump on the trampoline a few jumps and then they'd come and sit back down ready
yes.
to listen again. And it was just perfect. But getting outside is so good for us, all of us.
All of us. It's our connection
mm-hmm.
to the world, to God, to everything. Like Charlotte Mason, that's all over in Charlotte Mason. It's like how big it is. Like a kid needs to get outside every day.
Yeah.
And you can do the like science is catching up with like if children can get out and run around and explore the world around them, what it does to their mind. I just did something about neurons making pathways in your brain. Mm-hmm. And if it's done through play, how many more they connect and how much mm-hmm. better they respond, right?
Yeah.
So taking in that environment of outside and just that change up, like,
definitely.
We're going to go outside and we're going to just go on a walk and we'll just talk about things and have fun and laugh and giggle. Yeah. So just
and observe the world.
Yeah.
I love it.
This is like Karin's moment to shine with number four. Here you go.
Making it fun.
Make it fun.
Yay. Yeah. There's so many ways to make school fun.
Yeah. And so we're going to give a ton of ideas. You have so many fun ideas.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I have a lot of ideas. I think some simple things. I mean, adding in some tradition to your homeschool. Like, this is something Megan's good at, is the poetry tea time and,
yes,
you know, the little fun days. And we did, we don't do this anymore, but when my kids were littler, we would do couch day. I don't know. That's what they
called
it.
Paint your butt and sit on the couch?
No, we would just, like, we would go to the library and they would all get like 50 books each. And then we'd sit on, we had a pullout couch, which we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
We had a pullout couch and we'd pull it out and they'd pile all their blankets on it, everybody's blankets. And it was just this mountain of blankets and books and they would just read. And that was, we did it the first
Monday
of the month. And I think they called it couch school day or bed school day. Or, I don't know. They had some
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like all the grandmas and grandpas in their bed in the front room.
Yes.
That's all I can envision.
Yes, but it was so fun. My kids loved it. I need to reinstate that, but the library's closed.
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't been to the library this year, but it was our favorite. So we would schedule that as the first Monday of every month was library day and read on the couch bed. And it was the best day. And so this is just a simple little thing. It was nothing on me.
Yeah.
But then,
I was just saying, like, play games instead of doing the lesson.
Yeah.
Like, play a math game instead of doing a math book.
Pull out your board games. There's lots to learn from them.
What did I say about this? Like, Monopoly teaches you about money. Boggle mm-hmm. teaches you how to lose gracefully to your mom. And the Boggle
that's
King.
That's funny. All right. So field trips.
Wait, that's all? You have a ton more.
No, I've got more.
Fun days? I thought you were going.
Oh, sorry. I'm still going.
Yes, please.
Field trips, crafts and sewing, cooking, home ec. That's my degree. But also just, you've got more over there too.
Yes, a read-a-thon. Like, we've done a full day of read-aloud. Or even them reading loud. That's like mm-hmm. couch day, I guess. Mm-hmm. Dance party. I'm always down for a dance party.
clubs, team sports, outside classes, like hiring outside classes, another way to just make it fun. There's so many just things you can change up. And the great thing about homeschooling is you get to make those choices and turn anything into a game, make everything playful, find a way to just make it different. And suddenly they'll love it.
Yeah, I just put mix it up.
Mix it up. Yep, for sure.
Okay, and the last one is if your kid's not enjoying school, number five, find some good friends.
Yeah. You need a good community of people.
Yes. So like we talked about in the last episode, our co-op is a huge one for us. Mm-hmm. Seminary is a big one for mm-hmm. our kids.
Debate,
yes. And then my kids own things that they're in, like
theater
and sports. Yes, and all the different mm-hmm. things. And we talked a lot about this with co-op, like if you don't have it, create it.
Right.
Like I was saying, I have a friend day for my son that's just every week. We set it up that his friend comes over on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And he loves that. That totally keeps him going.
Yeah. Just another couple little things. Like, I think it's really important. Sometimes you just need a break. Like, sometimes it's just about taking a week off, and that's okay. Like, or a day, whatever you feel comfortable with, but a week's okay sometimes. You know, sometimes you just really need a break, or maybe you need a little vacation and you can take them somewhere where they're learning and they're together as a family. And that can be really important too.
Yeah. So the last thing I thought of was if your kid says, I don't like school, it has everything to do like their thoughts. So like mm-hmm. not taking it personal and just getting curious, you're going to get a much better thing to create from that mm-hmm. versus like, oh, thanks a lot. I spend all day doing school with you.
That's usually my reaction too.
Karin, come on over for some coaching.
I'm always like, what? I take it personally. I'm like, why? Do you know how much work I put into this? I give my whole life to you guys.
Yeah.
No, there's days. There's days when I feel like that. Most of the time I don't take it personally. But there are days when it sets me off. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what I do for you.
Oh my gosh.
And they don't. And they won't ever until they're adults. But that's okay. sometimes you just need to vent. I want to add one more thing. Sorry.
Carter, you having a rough day?
No. This is different. I shared this story with you. So my cute little 7-year-old, she hates reading right now, like hates it. And that we've been using The Good and the Beautiful, and she's right at her level, and it's starting to just get a little too hard for her. Like, she hasn't quite kept up with the level it's at. I feel like their curriculum's a little advanced language arts wise. And so it's gotten hard for her. And the readers were really hard, and she would just cry and fight and kick and scream, literally. And so this, about 2 weeks ago, I finally was like, all right, we'll just put those readers aside, and we're just gonna do this book instead. And I have this, like, I can't think of what it's called, this big, like, fat workbook, and I'll find it and put it in the show notes, but it's like a reading workbook that I used with Burton too, that was like magic to get him when he was struggling. And so we're just working through that, and it's pretty simple, and it just goes through like letter sounds and then putting this, starts very simple, but she's about halfway through it now, and she's really growing and feeling success from it, and it's not hard for her, but she's progressing. And it's been so nice to just see, okay, I just shifted that one little thing, and suddenly school is not a fight anymore with her. And so I just want to say, like, if there's something that they're constantly pushing back on and fighting back on and resisting on, that's the thing that you need to maybe just set aside for a little while. And it's not going to ruin their world. They're not going to fail. They're not going to get behind. It's going to be okay.
Yes, I know math with a lot of my kids, as soon as it got hard, mm-hmm. all we'd have to do is slow it down.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just play a game today. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just do, like, you do a problem, I do a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it like this. And then all of a sudden, within a while, they realize they've built up their confidence, and they're like, oh, it's not as hard as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Okay, friends. Have a fantastic day. Leave us an amazing 5-star review. Make Karen cry.
I didn't cry this week.
You didn't cry. That's beautiful. So you needed, like, write much more poetic ones. Make this girl cry. That's your challenge.
I might have been, I don't know, you know, just a little emotional.
She has a good heart. She has a good heart. All right. Love you guys, and talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.